Hail to the king, baby.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Game over, man. Game over.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
See you at the party, Richter.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Dana is a cheater.
There is no Dana. There is only Zoom.
No more rhymes now. I mean it.
Anybody want to treat it?
Montucky Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Emma Stone.
And I'm Brandon.
You're Emma Stone?
I sure am. I'm so glad to be joining you guys tonight. I
thought How much have you been smoking? That's a really deep voice for Emma.
You know, I'm preparing for a role, so I got some pretty extreme surgeries on my vocal cords. I've been like an 8-pack-a-day smoker, and I've only been eating broken glass. A lot of scar tissue.
Now that you got all that extra free time.
You've been hanging out with Lindsay Lohan, haven't you?
Listen, say what you say, but bitch knows how to party.
Okay, so as promised, we are going to talk in depth about Amazing Spider-Man 2. So if you don't want to hear it, this episode is going to be sprinkled throughout talking about it, I think. God knows what else, so hang with us. But honestly, if you read the comic, I mean, you'll probably still be surprised because shit didn't play out like the comic at all. So go ahead, start out. What was your overall impression?
Overall, I really, really liked it despite some major flaws. There are a lot of big flaws with the movie, or not a lot. I think there's a number of big flaws, but the things I liked so much that I was willing to get past the things that I thought were real problems.
What I really liked the humor that really... I felt actually came through in this movie. Like there was a lot of
uplifting humor.
Like that first scene when Dane DeHaan as Harry Osborn gets back to town and he and Peter Parker
the flicking the rocks.
Yeah, is that whole everything they say is gold. Like the thing that really makes this movie work is the actors are so good. Especially young actors, and the chemistry they have with each other is just perfect. Like, I would watch Emma Stone, Andrew Garfield, and Dane DeHaan do any movie together because they just have so much natural chemistry.
And can I just say that's funny you said young actor, because I was watching Andrew Garfield. Like, I hear Mark Webb talking about how, like, yeah, we can't really pull off the high school thing anymore. So he starts it at age 18, like when they graduate. So he still starts off the film with him being
not even
being college age yet. And I'm looking at him like, Andrew Garfield looks like he's 40 now. He looks like he's 40 years old.
I was using young more as a relative term, like relative to Jamie Foxx and Sally Field and Chris Cooper. They're the young actors.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, hey, Andrew Garfield's still on the right side of 30. Not by much, but he's still on the right side of 30.
But he's not looking it. I'm just saying. Okay, now, so here's what happened. I went to the movie. I spent $91 because there was only one time we could see this before the podcast. 2 weeks I've been trying to see it. There's only one time that worked. It was an 11:15 in the morning showing. Mm-hmm. It was in the XD screen. So I'm like, fuck it. So that's like, even with the matinee prices, it's almost $55 for the five of us to get into the movie, right? Then it was like I fed them before we went, and I had to pay fucking for the snacks anyway because it was Mother's Day and I didn't want to upset my wife. So it was like I still paid for snacks for the kids and my wife. And I was abstaining from eating because I was just like outraged I was paying that much. Uh-huh. Like if I went to an evening movie, I would have been okay with it. But it's like a fucking matinee, dude.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was on the XD screen. They didn't advertise that. So it's like, fuck. But I was like, all right. So we go in there. I'm not going to go into the whole story. But basically, like, Brandon's little brother sat behind me. I instantly felt guilty when I saw him sit behind me because I'm like, at some point, my daughter's going to flip the fuck out. It's happened at the last two movies. She's going to flip the fuck out at some point, and I'm going to ruin the movie for, like, Brent. And so I was already feeling really bad. Uh-huh. And lo and behold, 45 minutes before the movie's over, my stepson and my daughter get in a fight, which leads to me, after a minute of trying to calm her, carrying her out of the theater and missing the last 45 minutes of the movie. So I have no idea what the fuck happened at the end. Now, I do because... the shit has been spoiled and spoiled and spoiled long before it came out. But, like, I didn't actually get to witness it unfold. And I was just telling Brandon this, like, off the air. It fucking, like, I just had to have caught the first two thirds, which is the lamest fucking two thirds, dude. There's only two action sequences and they're lame. They are so lame. I realize that the end action sequence is probably cool, so I'm not judging it off of that. But that first two thirds of the movie is fucking boring. I'm just saying, for having only gotten to caught that.
I didn't find them. I agree the action sequences weren't great, but I didn't find that boring at all.
But for a superhero, you need your action sequences to be fun. It wasn't fun, dude.
I had fun. I thought it was fun. Just them as themselves, I thought was fun.
I mean, that's fine if it's building to something, but once again, I lost the last 45 minutes.
You missed what they were building to.
Yeah.
You didn't get the payoff.
Yeah, so I admit wholeheartedly I can't fully judge it, but I do have some observations that I want to get out of there. One is very cranky. One's not as cranky. I'll go with the not as cranky one because you touched on it already. The humor. I did enjoy Peter Parker's sense of humor more in this one. I kept hearing about it in the first one, but he comes off like an asshole in the first one. And this one, it is like the Spidey that I read. Like, I did enjoy that. Now I got two complaints of the movie from what I saw. Complaint number one. I looked this up on the internet after I left because I was like, who the fuck did a score from 1987?
I know.
Hans Zimmer
and his
really
team.
Hans.
Johnny Marr.
And the Spectacular Six or something like that was the name of his team. Dude, fuck those guys, dude. It sounded like they were doing coke.
Well, it breaks my heart because now I agree, the score is a real
it's
problem
terrible,
in the
dude.
Movie. It is not good at all.
It doesn't
And here's
work.
Why. I blame one person. My least favorite composer. He's popped up in so many goddamn movies recently. Junkie XL. Holy shit. I've not liked a single note of anything he's written. That dude is not talented.
Yeah, well, if he's responsible for this, shame on him. But
he's a
on
member
Hans
of the team.
Zimmer for letting his music get out with this.
Well,
it is not
I suspect
good.
This was sort of the thing where it's like the music was Hans Zimmer probably gave a few ideas and then let whatever happen and slapped his name on it.
Yeah, exactly. Shame on you, Hans. Mm-hmm. Shame on you for mailing it in. You turned out like a great score in the Batman movies.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely enjoyed
Inception
them.
Is already sort of iconic for
yeah,
Sam.
No, I'd agree
like whether
with
people
that.
Like it or not, because I know there's some people who really don't. Like, it's definitely an iconic at this point.
The Inception horn rocks.
Yeah.
Should I? I should get the Inception horn. Next episode, we're going to have the Inception horn. If I remember.
Adding more and more sound effects by the episode.
We're going to turn into a morning radio zoo crew pretty quick here.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen, dude. Anyway, so yeah, the score really bothered me.
Can we talk about the worst part of the score? Because to me, there was one distinct thing that was just the... Because I could have... I could have let the score slide as a mediocre score, but that scene in Times Square with Electro and the weird chanty... Were you able to make some of them out? They were stupid as fuck.
Yeah, the words
Everybody hates you. Nobody likes you. Everybody
hates you. Yeah, it was unfucking bearable.
That
yeah.
was really... Even my wife,
well,
like, she normally doesn't really comment on things, but,
but
she that is one comment she definitely made on that. It was like, what the hell was he saying?
And do you know how many people had to sign off on that for it to make it into the movie? What the fuck? Not one person said, you guys, I don't know if this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Every time Electro popped up after that, I was dreading it because I was afraid it was going to happen again.
It did.
Yeah.
It did because I saw him before he got dunked underwater.
The only thing that made me happy is they didn't have it in the final fight. Thank God, because I could not have handled it.
All right, here's my other problem with this. This is a plot thing. Once again, didn't see the full 45 minutes, but off of seeing this, I can tell you it makes no fucking sense. Peter talks to Harry, and then immediately, as soon as he hears that Harry wants some of Spider-Man's blood to save his life, is apprehensive about it. What the fuck, dude? Seriously, no, like, are you going to have a doctor check it out? Did you do any research?
Yeah.
Can I see your notes? Nothing. Just against
There's
it.
A pretty good reason for that. His blood has his DNA.
So
Spider-Man's blood gives away who Spider-Man is.
So not even willing to be like, okay, if it injects right into you and I get the needle at the end, like nothing, nothing, no terms, nothing, just instantly against it right away.
It did seem more like an apprehensive. No, I think apprehensive. It did not seem like he was vehemently like, no, never.
And I'm sorry, because we've established before, like, I don't need it to be just out of the comic for me to like it. But I have seen Spider-Man give blood to people.
Like a million times.
Two times that sticks out in my head immediately. One on September 11th. Mm-hmm. He rolls up his sleeve and just gives it for like a bag.
You could make the argument.
Second, he saved somebody's life. He's given it to Reed Richards. I don't know how many times.
You could make the argument those were incredibly stupid decisions, though. Like you could make that argument.
It saved people's life. This was allegedly his best friend, and he's instantly against.
But again, I mean, you also just made the point. It's not like the comics. If it works in the comics, does not necessarily mean it's the same in this movie.
I know, but this is the thing. I don't need to know about the comics for that. Uh-huh. Like, that just instantly struck me as bullshit.
See, I didn't think he seemed as vehemently against it. He definitely seemed apprehensive, but I think for good reason.
He against it the second he brought it up when
but
he was
not
Peter
like
Parker
vehemently, like, no, never, under no circumstances.
No, of course not, because he's pretending to not be Spider-Man. You see but what no, I'm see, saying? He's like, I guess I'll talk to Spider-Man about it, but he's already like talked it down to Harry.
Well, because the reason is because he didn't know what would happen and he didn't want to hurt his friend.
Yeah, but even then he like talks to Harry and he's just like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, it could hurt you or whatever, or turn you into something worse. What's worse than dying, dude? Seriously.
Well, no, I agree with that argument, but I also understand like why he would be apprehensive about it.
I understand apprehension, but there was no point in that movie where he even considered doing it. And that is not a Spider-Man thing to do. That is not a Peter Parker thing. That is a hole in the script.
Pretty sure there are moments where he was tossing and turning it over.
When?
Remember in that scene when he's in the Oscorp office, he talks
Because I saw shorter the movie than you did, so I like really focused in on that part. Like, there are three scenes where it's brought up. Like, Harry brings it up. Mm-hmm. He's instantly trying to knock it down before even going to talk to quote-unquote Spider-Man. Then he talks to, like, Gwen in the hall closet, already saying, I'm not going to do it. Like, it's a bad idea. It could turn into something worse. And then his Spider-Man telling him no. At no point did he consider it. That is not
you
a heroic
You missed the
thing.
Fourth scene.
What was the fourth scene?
He gives him the blood and he goes apeshit.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And remember,
so
you're talking about
ended this conversation by just saying that.
But here's the thing. Even then, like, you're saying he didn't consider it. In four scenes he talked to, he did other things, like, off screen. It's not like the movie is a minute-by-minute representation of one.
I'm just saying, they didn't show any scene where he was like,
I don't know. I definitely got the impression it was something he was, like, really torn over. Not something he was just like, no, fuck that, never.
Well, that's because you got a scene that I didn't get.
Well, no, I got that impression during the movie.
I don't know how you like, got that impression. I have no idea.
It seemed pretty clear to me.
It didn't seem clear to me at all.
Like,
it seemed like he was, like, contemplating how do I tell him no.
Oh,
that's how
I definitely
it seemed to me.
I agree that he was definitely against it, but I mean I got the impression it was something he was having trouble, like he was having trouble really being firm, like he was torn over it.
Okay, so he gives him the blood. What, does he turn into the Goblin then?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Is it like Ultimate Spider-Man Goblin kind of?
A little bit. It's not just a straight up goblin. Like, it's just a goblin. Like, he's got the full battle suit. It's more like, you know, that scene with Chris Cooper where he's got like the long fingernails and the green skin. It's like that. Like, he's still clearly a human, but he's a really fucked up human.
Okay. Gotta finish this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to pay
now,
to see it again.
I'll say this. I thought the villains, especially Electro and Rhino, and to a certain degree Green Goblin, came off as pretty campy, but it was a level of campy I could accept and get past. However,
I gotta admit, having not seen Rhino at the end, I enjoyed Paul Giamatti at the beginning
with
the tattoo on his forehead. That was hilarious.
Me too. But I mean,
and
it is definitely
suit.
Like over the top scene chewing campy. Like,
well,
it's,
that's Paul Giamatti,
but,
dude.
Well, again, I didn't say I hated it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as a statement of fact.
If you don't want over the top, don't hire Paul Giamatti. He's gonna yell stuff.
Yes.
Like, he's going to have beady eyes and he's going to look ugly. These are three things you can count on for Paul Giamatti.
But the point I was getting to is that I didn't mind it in the movie. I thought it worked in some of the characters, less so for others. But I cannot imagine spending a full 2 hours with just the villains. Like, that seems like hell to me. I really don't know if I'm up for that. The trailer's going to have to be pretty great to swing me back on board for that.
I enjoyed Electro, did not like Max Dillon. I thought it was...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The acting as Max Dillon was really bad.
It's straight up Schumacher. It's Schumacher. It's just the Riddler plot.
Yeah, and to be fair, they obviously didn't like it either because he's like, he's Max in like, what, a total of 5 minutes of scenes?
Yeah.
And he's carrying around real blueprints. Nobody does that
anymore. I know.
And they're
as somebody who's like off is stacked for season.
Did you notice that? That's what like stood out to me was like they were the bluest blueprints I've ever seen. Just popped out of the screen blue.
He made them himself.
Like some dude had a computer and he was like, oh, I'm fucking doing
these are gonna
this,
be
dude.
Blue.
They are paying me $2 million to blue this up.
Okay, the other thing I did not like is I really did not like the parent story.
No, but I read a funny thing. I think it was on Grantland, but it was just talking about how, like, nobody gives a shit about Peter's parents.
That's where I was at. I didn't dislike it so much as I was just indifferent.
It really drug parts of the movie down.
Was there more about his parents at the end?
No. Okay. There was no payoff
I saw enough of it to know. Okay.
You here's saw the scene in the train station,
you
right?
You want to know how you could have, like...
Did you see the scene?
You saw the scene in the Roosevelt train station, right? Where he finds the video of his dad?
No.
Okay, so there is more than yes.
Well, go ahead. But
basically, you know how he's trying to figure out, like, he opens up the...
Why his parents left him,
essentially. Well, no, he opens up and he finds the bus tokens everywhere and he sees Roosevelt written down, right? And he's trying to figure out where Roosevelt is.
By the way, if you were May and you walked in and saw, like, Peter having the beautiful mind, like, fucking wall, would you say something to him or would you, like, quietly go... Like, call a mental health professional and, like, have
when anybody, you walk in and anybody's got a beautiful mind wall, it's time to see.
That's what I thought right away. Oh, my God. Spidey's going to have to escape a straitjacket.
So, you know, and he does that scene. He's like, what is Roosevelt?
And, by the way, when did we establish that superheroes are allowed to stalk people and it's okay?
It's a great question.
I gotta say, it's because this happened in Superman Returns. Everybody I know who has ever seen that movie thought it was genuinely fucking creepy that he's floating outside the house watching Lois Lane. But it's when Spider-Man does it, it's cute.
Well, here's
but he's
here's
hanging the, upside down doing it.
Well, no, here's the difference to me. Here's the difference to me. Now, I still think Spidey doing it is creepy as shit. Let me make that clear now. But here's what sort of makes it less creepy than the Superman Returns thing. Spider-Man was doing it because he was genuinely scared for Gwen, right? Like, he didn't want to end up seeing her get hurt.
I disagree.
Superman was just kind of doing it.
This is where I disagree with you respectfully. I think that was his excuse. I think if you watch the way he delivers it, he's rolling his eyes around like, yeah, I was watching out for no, dude. He was fucking, he was listening.
You were following him, following her to lunch. I mean,
he was on a police tip, dude.
Did I not say I found it creepy? But at the same time, like, it is an established characteristic of Spider-Man.
I'm not attacking you. I'm attacking Spider-Man, dude. He's a creep in this.
I mean, is it not an established characteristic of Spider-Man that he does care that the people around him don't get hurt? Like, it's definitely, I think it's...
Yeah, I've never seen him follow around Aunt May.
Really?
He didn't know she was going to night school and becoming a nurse.
Yeah. Well, that's, how does he not know that?
But he knows what Gwen Stacy's having for lunch.
Yep.
That's a point I'm going to come across on.
What that was? That's the same shit where you're like, we really like a girl when you're in high school and, like, you know, she eats a Perkins. So you, like, start hanging out at Perkins from time to time to, like, bump into her.
It's
creepier when you're like have superpowers and you're like not letting them see you at all. I'm just saying it was a little bit stalkery. I'm just saying.
I didn't
Zach's
say it wasn't.
Upset.
No. I'm clearly not going to get a sentence out at this in this particular thing. So.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Honest to God, I can't remember what I was going to say anymore.
Okay.
Honest to God, I just lost it. So we're good.
Yeah. And this isn't coloring whether I think it's a bad or good movie. This is just observations that I made that really stuck out at me in the theater.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching it to like say shit today, you know, and that was funny to me. and slightly creepy. Not like I was scared for her or anything, like it's Spider-Man in the end, but in a, that seems irresponsible to put that in this movie a little bit, just a little bit. Like if he, they had thrown in some kind of threat to her, it would have been different, but they didn't do that to you. They like had him break up with her and then suddenly he's following her around. And then she came up with the, well, is it to keep me safe kind of thing? And then looking at him, knowing that he's full of shit. Like she looked at him knowing he's full of shit. I thought, like, that's part of the charm of Emma Stone is she sees through him in that movie. So,
well, that was part of what I was going to get to.
Yeah. And I get that, but it's still like kind of a creepy detail.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I was getting there. Yeah.
That's all I got, dude. I got the boring segment of the movie. I have to like camp it up with like the little bit that I have. I saw 2/3 of the movie. I might as well have seen like a fifth of the movie. Didn't see fucking Octopus suit. Didn't fucking see Green Goblin come out. Didn't fucking see Rhino come out. Like, I didn't see shit in this movie.
You got to see a lot of the hanging out scenes. But here's the thing. Here's my general feeling. Like, all the little fan stuff at the end is great, and I think the last third of the movie is the best third. But the stuff of, like, Peter Parker just hanging out with the other characters is my favorite stuff in the movie. Like, to me, that was the best part. So, I would have been cool without seeing the last bit. Because I sort of, at that point, I knew exactly what was going to happen and how.
Can I make an observation about Mark Webb, too?
Uh-huh.
Because I'm just conjecturing all kinds of shit about him. But all I have to go off of him is 500 Days of Summer, Spider-Man, and Spider-Man 2, right? I don't think that dude knows how to have a normal romantic relationship.
Well, I don't think it's totally fair to blame him for what other people wrote.
Yeah, he's directing it.
Well, sure, but he didn't write the scenes. He's condoning it. Well, sure, but again, that doesn't mean he wrote the scenes. Shouldn't we be blaming Kurtzman and Orky for that?
Sure. Blame whoever you want, dude.
But the people who actually wrote the creepy romantic scene, shouldn't they be the ones getting the blame?
But to be fair, 500 Days of Summer, like...
He didn't write that either.
Yeah, but that entire thing, he like was like, hey, this is a great story to like turn into a movie.
I think it may have been more of a, this is a great thing to get me seen as a director. Because at that point, he had just been a music video guy.
Okay.
So I think
what music videos did he do?
Oh, God, a fuckload.
Police.
No, it's
the police. Every breath you take.
It's basically a lot of smaller like indie rock bands and alternative rock bands, and then a bunch of like pop, like Madonna and pop stars, like all over the map in terms of who he directed the music. It seems to me that Mark Webb is very much a hired gun type.
Okay,
like I think he's talented. He strikes me as one of those guys who cares more about like visual structure of a film and pacing and editing than someone who cares all that much about story. Like I think he's a guy who likes to leave the story to the writers.
Okay, well, spoil the shit out of the end for me.
Gwen Stacy. Oh, wait, I didn't even finish telling you about the other scene with Peter's dad.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So remember how he was Googling what is Roosevelt?
Yeah.
Okay, so he figures it out. It's this abandoned train station from when they needed to get Roosevelt out so people wouldn't see his polio, right? He goes down there, brings it
I've
up.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. There's a whole lab in this train station with his dad's stuff, and he watches a video basically explaining, because you know how Aunt May said that his dad left and they thought, like, FBI came and told her it was for money and whatnot? He watches his video and it's basically his dad explaining everything he did and why he did it. So it's essentially an exposition dump, but it works as really well as an emotional scene because it's finally Peter understanding what happened. Now, what most people probably did not care about the parents, and I only cared about it in the sense that it moved the story forward a little bit. Like, now it wouldn't be something that was dwelled on.
Oh, so that was something.
That was the one thing I did like. It was like it put closure on the whole thing. Like,
and Andrew Garfield's great in the scene because it is really just him and the video of the guy playing his dad.
Yeah.
I got to say, too, because I got sidetracked somewhere when we're talking about that. But the whole thing with his parents, like the only way they could have made that interesting is if it was still attached to the Marvel Universe and they did the actual story. Yeah. This is a case where, like, following the comic book definitely would have been a better idea because his parents were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Like, you could have made that interesting, but when it's...
You know how you could have really made like, it interesting?
What's that?
His parents were Hydra agents as S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Ooh. Well, and when they came back in the comic book, they didn't actually come back. It was moles who were brainwashed into thinking they were Peter's parents, but they weren't. God, I'm a fucking nerd, dude.
So the thing, one of the thing that I think bugged me the most, well, the thing that bugged me the most was the stupid chanting during the Electro score. The thing that bugged me the second most is that there's all this time spent on Peter's parents. Uncle Ben gets name dropped like four times, and it's almost entirely by Aunt May. Like, she seems to be the only one who cares that Uncle Ben died.
Yeah. Sally Field, like, did a really She's good great. Job as Aunt May She's in really this great. One, too. She was a little rough around the edges in the first one. Written that
it
way.
Seemed like
it was
she
written
sort of,
that way,
yeah.
but...
It seemed like she also grew into the role a little bit more this time. Like, having... Yeah. Especially
because
well,
she wasn't
has more
in
to
crisis
do.
In this one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. Like, she was perpetually in crisis. So, I don't blame Sally Field for it. Yeah. She was doing what was on the page. But, like, this one felt more like Aunt May, I guess.
So we talked
about the whole like battle scene over the laundry.
Yeah, that was perfect, Aunt May.
And that
so
is,
good.
Yeah, that is you're right. That is like exactly what you would see Peter and Aunt May fighting over.
So what was some of the stuff you guys did like? Because it seems like we've talked more about what we didn't like.
I talked about the humor.
The humor is great.
It's funnier to talk about the stuff that we don't like.
I did think the opening of Spider-Man swinging around was really, really good.
Like, I really dug good. The montage of the closets with him taking off the
uniform. Oh, yeah.
Fun.
That was fun, for sure. And once again, that wasn't really an action sequence, but it was funny watching his reactions to that. I really enjoyed that. I think Emma Stone does great.
She's phenomenal.
I'm not... in love with Andrew Garfield. I think he does okay.
I really
There's
like him.
There's something I don't like about him, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But I do really like Emma Stone in that role.
I like that he's the first Spider-Man actor or voice actor to actually try to do a little bit of a Queens accent.
Yep.
That's something I appreciate, the little touches.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give it up for that. I've noticed that, too. I don't want to focus on him, though.
I thought Dane DeHaan...
I don't like his hair.
Yeah,
I think that might be it. Does that make me a bad person? I mean, it's his hair. His hair distracts the shit out of me. I watch his hair more than I watch him. That bothers me. Like, I dig him when he's in the suit. He's fine. As soon as it's off and that hair goes and like sticks up, I'm like, I mean, what when he's wearing the mask? It even like distracts me when I'm watching him in Spider-Man, because I'm like, wouldn't that mask be a little bit higher? Like, can he really keep his hair down in that mask?
See, his hair is actually really thin. It takes a lot of product.
It's kind of that hipster bullshit haircut.
Yeah, to be entirely honest, like, I know what you're talking about when you say it, but when I watch the movie or anything with him in it, I don't notice it at all.
It's because I'm an old cranky guy. That's what it is, dude. I'm like, I don't like
his hair. Envy.
What's wrong with no? Not envy. Not envy. I just don't like the way that he chooses to wear his hair.
Well, he might not even like it. I think he's sort of stuck with it until Spider-Man's done. Until he's
well,
done.
He's gonna do
Spider-Man
whatever
now.
They tell him to do. I'm
yeah,
sure.
But I mean, unless they tell him otherwise, I think he's stuck with it now.
Yeah. Let's see. What else did I like? I liked Chris Cooper as Norman Osborn.
Yeah, me too.
Did he come back in that? I suspect that he's not really dead.
I suspect he's not dead as well, but he didn't show up.
Because they, and I'll just lay it out, because once again, I paid intense attention to the little bit that I did get to watch the movie. After he dies, they're like in his bed.
Yeah.
Doing something with him with weird lights. So I don't think he was really dead.
I don't either.
I think... for some reason, he was leading everybody to believe that. Maybe because he was transforming to the point of where, like, they couldn't have him be seen publicly anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think he's
gone. I agree.
Gone.
I think it'll have something to do with Green Goblin.
I don't think you put Chris Cooper in there like that and then just, like,
for
toss
just
him
one
out
scene.
And then give him big billing on the movie, which they did.
Yeah, unless you're bringing him back.
Yeah. I think, yeah, and I really think it's like they bring him back from the shadows in the next one, which is why they're giving him big billing in this one, so that he eats it when, like, they don't give him billing in the next one, to be like, surprise, Norman's
still here. Yeah, Chris Cooper's back.
Yep.
I really liked Dane DeHaan.
Who's that?
He played Harry Osborn.
Okay.
I really, really liked
him. I don't like
him.
His hair either.
I can understand. That's not his normal hair. That's something they have.
No, I know.
Do.
I don't like the way
like
they
that.
Did that, dude.
I didn't like it either, but again, that was something I could get past.
I stared at that, like, left temple of his so often, like, the weird thing they did with his hair.
I will say this. It does seem
like
a rich, fancy boy haircut.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. I don't like his hair regardless. I did like the way that he portrayed Norman Osborn, though. That felt...
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
When he shows up at the as the Goblin, it was awesome. He,
and the best part is like, I sort of thought the Goblin looked...
Do you see his
hair? Oh, yeah. But it's much... It, no, it's very different. His hair is completely different.
Okay. It's like... I think he actually grew some hair, like... As when he came back as the guy.
I think he's really, really great. And he, the thing that I knew he was really good was that the Goblin look is a little silly in the movie. Like, it doesn't totally work, but he pulls it off. Like, he makes it work just by sheer force of talent. That kid's good. Everything I've ever seen him in, he's fucking good.
You know, it's like in comic book movies, it's never enough to wear a rubber mask anymore. They have to genetically alter them. Even in the comics, they're like switching it now to where they genetically alter them. But like, it's not enough to just pull off a rubber mask and be like, nope.
I think it's because that comes off as silly now.
But it's silly to like, I fell in a vat and got bit by like 15 electric eels.
Oh, totally.
And now I have electric powers.
Totally. But the difference is what silly is our audience is more likely to buy. And I guess they've decided that the...
I hear you, but I bet you anything in like 30 years, that's going to be hilarious shit.
Oh, yeah, probably.
It's kind of hilarious to me that like you see Max Dillon like fall. And I'm like, how's it going to be Electro? Oh, he follows electric heels, of course. Well, it's got to be some other animal.
That's another thing I was pointing. Like, the Electro stuff especially came off as super Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, it did.
But his came off as silly. The Goblin transformation didn't come off as silly. It's just the look afterwards looked silly.
I will say I saw enough of this to judge that Spider-Man 2 is... The original Spider-Man 2 is still my favorite Spider-Man
Mine
movie.
Mine too.
Because it's solid from beginning to end, I think.
Yeah, this one is in the top three of my favorite Spider-Man movies. I'm not sure if it beats
Spider-Man
1 or not.
I'll have to finish it before I officially rank it.
Well, the only reason I know that is because I know I liked it better than Amazing Spider-Man 1. And I know I liked it better than Spider-Man 3.
I'm in the same boat with you.
So,
there.
I mean, just by...
The jury's not out on part one yet.
Well, what I was saying is just by the virtue of those two, it being better than those two, it has to be in the top three.
And I might have talked about this on the podcast, but like a month ago, I rewatched the first one on Netflix and like it was in HD quality with the kids. And I'd never seen, like I'd only seen it on DVD or in a movie screen. I was like, oh, fuck, this looks way better than I thought it was. And I think it's just because, like, when I watch in that higher quality, it doesn't look so chintzy.
So
like,
plasticky, yeah.
Yeah, dude, like, it actually, like, and I forgot how good the story actually is in that first one. It's a strong story in that first one. Raimi did a really good job in that one. And I was even... Amazing Spider-Man never had a chance because I was fatigued of the origin story before Spider-Man 1 came out. Like, I'm the dude who literally watched every Spider-Man cartoon all throughout my life. And every time they did the origin story after the third time I saw it was like, fucking come on.
I want them to all just do the origins now like the Incredible Hulk did it. Just do it in the opening credits. That's all I ask.
I've said that a million times on this show.
We'll never be able to talk them out of just out of doing the origin story. Like the studio execs are always going to want to do it, but if you can convince them to contain it to the opening credits, we might be on to something.
You know where I think that we did get to lose the origin story? Thor.
Yeah,
because the origin story of Thor is it's like. It's a doctor who goes to Antarctica and he finds a hammer and when he grabs it he becomes Thor.
Well, that's sort of the origin story in that like that's the origin of him.
But that was the origin of the comics.
Well, no, even then the origin of Thor is that he's already Thor. Then he's sent to Earth to be humble and the Don Blake.
Right, but that was the origin of the comics, and they continued that in a couple comic book series. They just did away with all that. They didn't even have Donald Blake.
Yeah.
Like, so well, that's where Marvel is.
He gets
like,
a brief mention.
That's where Marvel's smart. I mean, like Iron Man, you had to do an origin.
Well, that's because at the end of the day, even with the Donald Blake stuff, like that's not Thor's origin. That's Donald Blake as Thor's origin. Like Thor's origin is simple.
No,
Thor's just Thor.
I hear what you're saying. He was born.
Yeah, Thor's just Thor. That's his origin story. And now he's Thor. That's his origin story.
Yeah, I mean, but you catch what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, so Marvel avoided it with that. like Iron Man, you had to tell. You just had to because nobody knew who Iron Man was when they went to it. You had to learn who he was.
And that Cap, journey you have is to do
crucial
it.
To that character. And Cap, Cap did it, but it's like...
It's
that
done,
wasn't the it was crux a little of the movie. Long. That wasn't the crux of the movie.
It no,
was,
not at
it
all.
It was literally like 20 minutes.
But they did it because you have to do it for Cap to work. Like without that origin in place for people, like Cap doesn't work.
Right. So who are we missing? Are we missing anybody from the Marvel movies?
Who's had their own?
Yeah.
Cap, Thor, Iron Man.
I think that's everybody,
yeah,
right?
That's, and Hulk we talked about already.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's everybody.
So Marvel's doing it right. Mm-hmm. They understand like just because you're doing an origin story doesn't make an entire movie
out of it. Yeah. Sometimes the origin only needs to be the first act. Sometimes you don't need it at all. And sometimes it should just be the opening credits.
Yeah. Well, Iron Man, it was really the first act.
Yeah. And same with Cap. It's the first act.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, if you're going to have an origin, do it in the first act, I guess, but God damn, Amazing Spider-Man. I clocked it one time. It's like 45 minutes through when when the origin's finally done being told. It's an hour and a half movie, man.
Yeah,
man. God damn, halfway through. Really? We've already seen it.
We know.
We've already seen it. And Mark Webb was complaining about it. I'm like, dude, it's your movie. You should have slammed the brakes on that and been like, no, I can wrap this up in 20 minutes.
Well, that's the thing is... It is a studio. I don't know how much control he gets over stuff like that.
I understand, but I'm gonna blame him anyway.
Okay.
Because you won't let me see they. You make me focus on Mark Webb. So, Mark Webb, you got some answering to do.
This one.
I think this one is because his last name is Webb.
I think that was probably a theory
a couple years ago. I'm sticking by
it. I think that's half the truth. I think
it was like they were like... They were in a rush to find a director and they were like, who's applied? And they had like seven directors and somebody like stopped on the web and they were like, I think we got the guy.
I think that's
happening. He changed his name so that he could do a Spider-Man movie. They had no idea.
I think that's half of it. The other half is who can we get that has no power to argue with us?
Yeah, you might be right.
And then that's the other one.
I feel like, yeah, and it's funny because the first Spider-Man movie, which, you know, Sony also did, the very first one, Sam Raimi got the part because he was such a Spider-Man fan. He was not a proven director in that the studio felt like they could count on him to
bring
deliver
a hit.
He was just such a fan of Spider-Man that won out. Like, he won out over James Cameron, for example. Like, James Cameron wanted to do one.
Well, not...
And if you ever hear about the shit he was going to do,
that makes it sound like they were both up at the same time. James Cameron's
script was
turned in, like, a decade before, so...
Right, but if they had liked it, it probably would have gone forward. He was, like, tying his Spider-Man powers to puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. Nobody wants to see that movie, James.
Yep.
That's no wonder you.
There's a lot of spiders webs everywhere.
They're just like leave that for the X-Men to handle. They'll do the puberty metaphors. You can
Brian
stick
Singer's
to.
All over it in life and in movies. I'm going to hell for that joke.
You know what the best decision I think in the movie was? To just have Jonah Jameson as a name on an email.
Missed it.
Oh,
really? The only Jonah Jameson, because I was waiting for Jonah to show up.
Yeah.
The only reference that I saw to him was Aunt May like bitching about how he doesn't pay him a fair wage.
I can't remember if that's right before or right after it, but he turns in a picture and he has his computer out and it pops up on the email. Because
remember
he types the scene about.
I don't remember seeing him turn
with
in.
His computer.
Yeah.
That might have been I'm trying to remember.
It might have been right around when my child freaked out.
Yeah, because in that scene is basically
I can't tell you the exact point she freaked out in, but I'm positive I didn't see it.
Basically,
that.
It's just he sends in a picture and he says, by the way, you should be... Oh, it's after because it says, and you should be... Or he says something like, you should be... Maybe you should consider that Spider-Man's just trying to help. And it just shows the response from J. Jonah Jameson. It's just in all caps, wrong! That's the whole thing. But I think that's smart.
If they were smart, if they're ever going to show J. Jameson again, fucking just recast J.K. Simmons. You don't have to burn it all down. He had that perfect. Seriously, am
just,
I wrong?
You just
am
took I the rug wrong? Out from what I was of literally all... about to say.
Okay, sorry.
Because the intelligence of that decision to just have him as a name on an email is if they can get J.K. Simmons back, then they can have him. If not, they just won't show him at all.
Oh, I think they that's could their get decision. It back.
Oh, I'm sure they could.
He's doing farmers commercials.
No, I'm sure.
Doing farmers commercials anymore.
No, he's got his own show right now.
Yeah, you could get him for a cameo.
It's not a good show.
What I mean by that is, obviously, they could offer him a check and he'd show up. What I mean is, like, if the writers and Mark Webb could get Sony to agree to bring him back.
Yeah.
That's what we don't know, is if Sony would agree to.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, of all the characters, you could argue back and forth how well they've done, but... anybody who argues that J.K. Simmons doesn't nail that character is fucking insane, because he nails that
character. He looks like he stepped off the page.
I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I'm going to throw it out there, and you guys can eat me apart on the web or whatever if you want it. There has never been a comic book character who was more nailed by an actor than J. Jonah Jameson with J.K. Simmons. Like, he fucking nails that. Yeah. It's like he said, not only right out of the page with the way he looks, the way he acts, the way he sounds, like his mannerisms.
He's perfect.
He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Some jackass will say, well, Stan Lee, but no, you're wrong, because it's an evil version of Stan Lee in the comics. So.
Plus, Stan Lee was born to play Willy Lumpkin, and we all know it.
Willy Lumpkin reference. You know, I heard Stan Lee say something about how his favorite character was Willy Lumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was like, who's Willy Lumpkin? And he's like, just look it up. You've got that interweb now. You can find out. So I looked it up, and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. Do you guys know who Willy Lumpkin is?
No.
Okay, just look it up, dude. You got the interweb. He's basically a mailman who, like,
he's the
joked around with the Fantastic Four sometimes, and he was just comic relief in the Fantastic Four. That's all he was.
And Stan Lee did go on to play him.
Did he?
Yep.
Which one?
Fantastic Four 2.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
I would rewatch that to see that if it wasn't for the fact that, like,
I'm sure you can find the picture on the internet, and that's plenty. Just know that he did it.
You might be able to even find a clip on YouTube if you searched hard enough.
Is it
wrong? Although Sony might have the kibosh on that one.
Is it wrong for me to be frustrated with my children that when Stan Lee makes a cameo in this, and I think for the first time ever, I won't have to say, there's a guy who created Spider-Man, and they'll just know.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. He's in every goddamn movie you've watched.
Put it together.
Everyone, dude.
He had a cameo in Frozen, for Christ's sake.
Did he really?
No, I don't think so.
That would have made the movie better.
Oh, of course.
Because I didn't enjoy Frozen. I could have enjoyed
it. Is there a movie that wouldn't be made better by Stan Lee showing up in a cameo?
Schindler's List.
I don't know. Stan Lee is Jewish.
That could have lightened the mood. It is Lieberwitz.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's just Lieber.
It is Lieber.
Just
okay.
Lieber.
Yeah, sorry. I over-Jewished the already Jewish name. I apologize. That's not racist for me to say that, right?
No.
I'm not sure. I don't
know. I mean, a little, but not totally.
Okay.
It's playfully anti-Semitic.
I recant. Dude, we almost did an entire podcast on Spider-Man.
What do you mean almost? Are we done now?
No.
All right. So, guys, it's pretty sweet when Spider-Man swings around, right?
Yeah.
Especially in XD.
Yeah.
You want to know the worst part? I'm staring at Superman 3 right now, and I'm just wanting to talk about Superman 3. I think you'll hear this in a future, what was it, Real Roulette?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll hear it in a future one, but that album cover, I need to move it. I love it. I need to move it in this attic, because it is pulling all my thoughts away. That is a shitty movie. I should not be focusing on Superman 3. I love the album. I love the album cover. I do not love that movie. I love Richard Pryor.
Uh-huh.
You would think,
I even love Christopher
Reeve.
It's all
the fun of Superman with, like, Richard
Pryor. All the elements
Pryor.
Are there. It's just terrible.
It's the director's fault, dude. It's Richard Lester.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's a shitbag.
Let's
for
be honest.
For Superman movies.
Is there anybody named Lester who isn't a shitbag?
No.
That's right. Lester's a shit... Like,
that's
Chad.
That's so close to Les Nessman that... Fuck. Any WKRP watches?
Yeah,
maybe somebody's listening. Okay. Yeah, you just didn't enjoy that. I've never dropped a WKRP reference on the show. Maybe it's time we start.
I've never dropped a WKRP reference.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I'm familiar with it.
Have you seen it?
Nope. No urge to. No desire to.
That's a show I kind of want to revisit because I really enjoy it. I really enjoyed it as a kid, but I've not seen it as an adult. It must be terrible.
You know what show I watched
all
as a
the
kid?
Clips I've seen look god awful. I have no interest in it.
I've caught shows on syndication since, and I'm like, oh, this is really bad.
What show?
Soap.
Oh, see, I never enjoyed Soap, but when I was a kid, it was on Comedy Central when it was Ha. And I would watch the Ha Network, and Soap would come on, and I'd be like, motherfucker. And I was like 10 years old because I wanted to watch Saturday Night Live reruns in Mystery Science Theater. Nope. Soap. By the way, you want to know what's really bad that I thought would be great when I revisit as an adult but is terrible? Mystery Science Theater. Oh, not funny at all. Every now and then, there's like, when's the last time you watched one, though? Be honest.
12 like high school. Ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched...
Every once in a while, I just get like Saturday afternoon. I'm like, I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to watch something and can't watch anything. And then like MST3K shows my up.
Thing... Let me make it make a day for you. There's a ton of them on Netflix. Yeah. I rewatched one of them and I was just like for every 80 jokes or so, I would laugh at one. That's a pretty bad ratio.
My thing with Mystery Science Theater is I think they're really, really funny, but I've never watched one of them twice. I have no urge to watch any of them twice.
I don't think I could rewatch one.
Like, because the type of jokes, like, they're funny once, but they don't really work a second time.
That's not the
problem.
And
then all that means is you're sitting through the movie again.
I think I'm too mature for those jokes now, sadly enough.
I can see that.
Like, there's occasionally a joke that makes me laugh, but you know what's I think we can all agree the worst part of the show is when they're not watching the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fucking dog shit.
Yep.
Even when I was a kid, they would cut to those scenes and I was like, this is dog shit. Mm-hmm. And you always hear the arguments about which host was better. And people get so passionate about it. I'm like, it doesn't matter to me because, like, that's you're talking about cutscenes here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like arguing about what the best cutscene in a video game is.
Yeah. I don't. Well, and I like cutscenes in video games, but let's be honest, after you watch that shit once, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe twice if it's a really good one.
Yeah.
I was about to get in a point that nobody gives a shit. Fuck it. One of my favorite. Bond games, like I buy a lot of James Bond games. Everything or Nothing was the game that I played that felt more like a Bond movie than any other movie. They even got what's this crazy fuck who's going to be in our crossed out documentary?
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, he played Jesus Christ.
Yes, fuck me, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
There we go.
Plays the villain in it. They have Pierce Brosnan playing Bond, and then they had like Aisha does the song, I think, and she like does a character.
No, that
and,
sounds ungood.
No, it works. It does totally it? Works. Okay. Yeah, she's just that's how Bond girls are, though.
Well,
they're
yeah,
not good.
Yeah, no, yeah, but yeah. I don't like Aisha at all. That's sort of my issue.
It's fine. Anyway,
okay, good to know.
Who's the other one? Who's the one who's naked in American Pie?
Shannon Elizabeth?
Yeah, Shannon Elizabeth plays
that I'm
the
down
main
with.
Bond girl.
That I'm
There's
down
a couple
with.
Other celebrity voices, too. And they have Jaws, which is really funny because they give Richard Kiel credit.
Nice.
But I'm like, he doesn't say anything, so he must have gotten credit to go in there and grunt. Yeah. Yeah, grunt. But you, like, face Jaws. You, like, face a couple of people. But that shit is so cinematic. Like, I even replayed it about 2 years ago. And it still holds up. Like, it feels like a Bond movie. And they do a really cool bullet time thing. Like,
nice.
In it that works really well. Like, you pick what you're going to do in slow motion as everything slows
coming
down.
In.
And then it goes back to regular speed as soon as you do it.
Nice.
So you still get that Bond feel. But it sort of was based off of the style of... what was the last shitty Brosnan movie? The very last one. The one that finally did CGI... Then they never did it
Die
again.
Another Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was released on the wake of that. So they had something similar to the bullet time scene in the movie. So it even worked with the style of that. But as a game, it's great. As a movie, oh,
not so much.
Shit, dude. That was a shitty movie.
Halle Berry's very attractive in it.
they were going to spin her off into her own series. That was maddening to me at the time. Like, I remember not liking the idea before I even saw the movie. And then I saw the movie and I was like, really? This is what you want to hang, like, the rest of your future
on? But here's what I'll say. If the spinoff movie had taken place entirely on a beach, I absolutely would have watched it. 100%. I'm not proud of that.
With Michael Madsen as her boss.
I'm not proud of it. I absolutely would have watched it.
All right. Well, do we have any closing thoughts here?
Nope.
All right. So take it easy. Just had to get one more of those in. Bitch, I'm gonna be editing.